Well, hey, welcome back to the cabin. This is the Up North Podcast, heard live on Wednesday nights on the radio and on the weekends, wherever you find your new favorite Wisconsin podcast. I'm Pat Kreitlow, along with Sarah Yacoub and Kirk Bangsted. And we play that song not so much for the Pink Panther, but for the bumbling Inspector Clouseau, which we have in you know, the form of former Justice Michael Gableman, who is now investigating elections fraud that never existed. So, Kirk, we're going to have to get into that by a visit with my big brother from another mother.
Yeah, and I definitely want to hear the story of why you call him the big brother from another mother, not on this podcast. But yes, we have Senator Jeff Smith from rural Eau Claire County up in our neck of the woods, and he's a member of the Senate Committee on Elections, and he's certainly been following the efforts by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. I just got a terrible cold, and other Republicans to undermine the integrity of our elections.
And folks are realizing that Michael Gableman, the former right-wing state Supreme Court justice, is getting paid a lot of our hard-earned taxpayer money by Robin Voss to conduct a quote-unquote investigation is really not so good at being an investigator. So we appreciate Senator Smith being here. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. I do like that intro music. That was just perfect for the Inspector Gableman.
That's perfect. Gonna stick.
Yeah, it's well, gonna... I mean, just let's go back to August when he led Elections Commissioner Bob Spindell and Representative Ramthan and himself to visit the guru of the big lie, Mike Lindell in New Richmond.
The pillow guy.
Yeah, to hear all this stuff. You know, it is so maddening that we are having to still talk about this mess that they are trying to create.
Well, it'd be one thing if we're talking big at the bar, you know, as they say, but the things that he's doing, he can't even give the air of authority because, you know, like our one headline said at Up North News, Gableman's election probe started out badly. It's gotten even worse. You know, we've got the way that he bumbled the initial emails that came from a John Delta, I think, and you know, an unsecured Gmail account, asked for, you know, records that were already public,
and so it's embarrassing, it's frustrating, and we've seen clerks actually resign their position because of the pressure that they're putting on them, and because of the lie that they keep spouting. Our clerks have had to hide from their neighbors, you know, and can't go to the grocery store without being yelled at. And it's as bad as school boards, you know. So who's going to want to serve their communities after this mess that we're going through right now?
Well, sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
I've been lucky enough since at least 2005 to be an election volunteer, and I've been in the boiler room since 2008, running the state boiler room for the Democratic Party. And I can just tell you that in our last election, we had almost, it was so quiet, it was extremely boring. I mean, we didn't have any issues. And, you know, beforehand, I was calling clerks and making certain there wasn't going to be problems because we were worried about people being harassed at the polls, but there was nothing. And the clerks were, just like you said, Jeff, they were extremely courteous, whether they were, and they knew I was a Democrat, whether they're Republicans or not, and up north, they're almost all Republicans. But, you know, they were very, very courteous and helpful. It's just pathetic that this is going on. It's so biased. And the guy doesn't, he even admits he doesn't know how an election runs. Now, right. Most lawyers don't get paid to learn law. And that's what we're paying him for.
Yeah, well, learn on the job.
It's our taxpayer money. And so it's this joke. Senator, is there a way that we can stop this, curtail this, or do we just all have to sit back and watch our tax dollars go down the tube here?
Well, Sarah, I'm afraid so. As far as those of us who know that, who actually admit the truth, the ones who won't admit the truth, they could put a stop to it. But it actually plays well to this small base of theirs, the January 6th group, I like to say. who want to continue to bubble up this, you know, keep this thing boiling and simmering, because when the next election comes, they're hoping they're going to be intimidating voters and at the polling places and doing all the things that they can do to keep people from performing their constitutional right to vote. And we need to do all we can, I think, down the road, Sarah, instead of, I guess there's nothing we're going to do about the $650,000 that Robin Voss is handing out of your money. But we're going to have to look ahead and be sure we're protecting people's right to vote as we move forward.
Well, what we can do, and then Kirk's got a question for you next, but the thing that I think can be done, you can't stop what's going on, you can't stop the farce, but you can continue to shine a light on it. And that's the thing that's most important, is not to say, well, it's a sideshow, we hope it goes away. No, that's what they want. And it's to call out every bit of bumbling, every bit of anything that appears extra legal, every bit of something that seems like it's being done in the dark, like Assembly Speaker Voss saying that he's not going to release certain records. Only Gableman will get to see these records. And so, you know, you're going to continue to shine a light on these things, you know, as are we and others. Kirk, you had a question next.
Yeah. So you definitely said, I mean, this is damaging. So I remember this was on Rachel Maddow. It's not like this is happening in a vacuum. I mean, nationally, the bumbling of Gableman is being on like NBC on Rachel Maddow's show. But she said, it's absurd right now, but the damage is being done. And you said the damage is being done with clerks and, you know, and then this, and I want to kind of tiptoe into this being school boards being overtaken and issues like critical race theory and Gableman, because not only were clerks going to be resigning if people are harassing them, school board members, like you said, are going to be resigning, and they already have, and when the recall elections come, this is an actual strategy by the Republican Party, by the conservative right wing to make people second guess our elections, make people second guess public schools, and make people second guess our local government. And if you're going to second guess all that stuff, then you're going to get engaged to put extremists in those positions, because those are the only people, I say this in extreme quotes, that you can trust if you're listening to all these lies. So that's my take on it. But I'd love to hear your take on, I mean, this is like a bigger issue than just a Gableman investigation. This is an onslaught of strategic onslaught against Wisconsinites from the right.
It's true, Kirk. It is all connected. It is all connected because we are currently not doing anything that we should be doing, for instance, to curtail COVID-19, right? And all the other things we could be doing with the money that's coming in, we could actually be right now digging those trenches, putting that fiber into every household in Wisconsin because of the money that we know we have in our treasury. We have all the opportunity to revamp the school funding formula and to make sure all of our kids are getting the education they deserve and doing it the right way and looking out for each other and wearing the masks that need to be worn, especially by school children, so they don't get sick and that their staff, the teachers stay healthy. All those things. We're not doing that, Kirk. We're not doing anything like that. Instead, we're spending all of our time fending off the Republicans who continue to do all the things you just mentioned, which are tied together, enraged people about masks so that they go and make fools of themselves at school board meetings, enraged people about the election that we know was democratically decided and all the right things were done. And it is just a strategy. And it goes back, let's go all the way back to, not all the way back, not that far long ago, but before the election, Trump was saying this election is already stolen. He was telling them, it doesn't take a genius to start stopping and thinking, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why are you saying that now? You know, and it really is frustrating that people get so caught up in this that they start to really lose a grasp on reality.
Well, they or they lose faith in the system and then they don't vote, which is something we're going to be fighting against here. So, Jeff, you've talked about I'm sorry, I should treat you with more decorum. So, Senator, you talked to Senator.
Only you would do that, Senator.
Oh, thank you very much. Ah, the professional courtesy. It's running thick here. Let's go from the assaults on democracy outside of your committee room to the ones taking place right inside your own committee and in the Capitol, where bills have been introduced to basically decide who qualifies for absentee ballots, restrict early voting, greatly restrict drop boxes. Talk about what you find most egregious, but then I think we'll just then jump right into the metaphor of Governor Evers as a hockey goalie.
Well, and that's where I was going to go right off right away, because we're so fortunate for that. But the most egregious, that is really a hard one to wrap my head around, because it's all this one package, you know. And when you sit through hearings like I have, where they just rattle them off. And the first immediate hearing we had right after the election was a joint hearing, Assembly and Senate. And it was just invite only. So you know who they invited, and as we tried to sit through it, they also would not allow us to ask questions. So we were held hostage to try to listen. So my fellow Democrats in that committee, by the way, they all attended virtually. I went in person with mask on among all of these maskless germs that were in the room, but. We finally agreed we were walking out. Well, you know, that meant I was walking out and demonstration for the rest of the Democrats. But then we watched from our offices this scandalous thing. But what I'm trying to get at it is it's just one big mess that they're trying to invoke this all of these issues with, like you just said, it's the very harmless and the smart idea of actually registering and then taking ballots in a park during a pandemic by trained officials, you know, it wasn't like going into the hands of anyone, but they've really latched onto that. The idea that, in fact, how dare us take private funds into a community when, of course, we're withholding funds from the state, like we, you know, for our municipalities. So being able to take funds from private donors into municipalities, which, by the way, over 200 municipalities receive those funds, but they're targeting only the five major Democratic cities.
Only those communities? That sounds odd, Senator.
Yeah, how about that? You know, the no suspicion there of what they're about. You know, so I've always been, by the way, for early voting, drop boxes. They do it all. They do it in states like Washington and Oregon, and I think Colorado now. I mean, it's very safe. They've been doing it for years, and it allows voters the opportunity to actually study their ballot. Oh my goodness, you don't want educated voters, do you? But, you know, get that ballot in their hands. They get a chance to study it, ask questions, and make a wise decision, and then return the ballot. Gee, it sounds like a terrible democratic idea, right?
It sounds like democracy to me. Sarah, you want to get the last question in here in our final minute?
Yeah, Senator, you touched on something so interesting. These other states that have been doing mail-in ballots do so through a bipartisan effort, and they love it, and they don't have the issues, the fear tactics that we heard about don't actually come true. What advice do you have for talking about this in a way that actually resonates with people? Because nothing about this is scandalous. It actually saves us taxpayers money. This should be a no-brainer, I would think.
Sarah, I wish I had the answer how we can educate people have a dialogue. Let's just say how we can have a really good dialogue with everyone. All I can do is sit on the side of the road, put my big sign up and say, stop and talk to me, and have those one-on-one conversations as much as possible, and hope I'm doing what I can do. I hope everyone else can do what they can do, and do it in a friendly way. I mean, we can, you know, I understand why you might be concerned. Let's talk about what you're afraid of. And let's talk about what's actually happening there. And by the way, I'll say one last thing about this, about some of this silliness, is that, you know, Mike, again, I'm going to time to Mike Lindell as much as possible, because you got, because Lindell is actually uses in his video Clark County and says 23,000 votes were flipped back from Trump to Biden. And oh my goodness, I hate to tell you this, but, you know, I'm sorry to say they only got 10,700 votes for Trump, but they only got 4,500 votes for Biden in Clark County. And that poor Republican clerk has really been struggling there with the accusations flying around.
It's so true. She, you know, the clerks are suffering. They don't want this to be happening. They want, they've worked hard to keep their election secure. You've been trying to do this one conversation at a time. Folks who aren't from around the Eau Claire area don't know his legendary stop and talk with a hand-painted sign that was made by one of his daughters when she was six, I believe. And then he sets up a lawn chair on the shoulder of the road. People come up and talk to him. And that's the way it should get done. And God bless him for it. Senator Jeff Smith, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you.
We'll take one more break, and then we'll wrap things up here up north.